Thank you for the introduction. Good morning, everyone. My name is Reagan Noland, and I'll be presenting a portion of my research here at the University of Minnesota. Alfalfa is the most important perennial forage in the upper Midwest. Many of us are familiar with this, but as we move into a time where it's more and more critical to maintain ecological services in our cropping systems, a perennial legume with high-quality forage is a very valuable thing. And it's very critical and fundamental to the livestock feeding operations, particularly the dairy operations here in the upper Midwest. And playing into that, we have both yield and nutritive value. And the nutritive value is the point that I'm going to focus on the most today. In managing for nutritive value or for forage quality, we kind of look at these. This is a model demonstrating the relative characteristics of a forage crop or an alfalfa crop. And then across the bottom, we have different maturity stages. And we can see that as we move farther into maturity, we're constantly decreasing in forage digestibility. And that's largely a function of these other lines that you see. As forage yield is rising, that's often a function mostly of stem yield also rising. And all the nutrients are in the leaves and not so much in the stems. And so the stemmier it gets and the less leafy, the more we decrease in quality. So we'll move forward with this kind of idea that we can assume that maturity can predict nutritive value. Doctors Kalu and Fick established a growth staging scale to quantify this based on vegetative, bud, flower, and then seed stages. I don't have those shown here because we don't let alfalfa go to seed when we're managing it for hay. But there's a numeric value assigned with different stages of the vegetative growth, different stages of the bud growth, and then of the flower. And whenever we take these numbers, combine them as an average or a mean stage by dry weight per stage, it gives us an index that we can use and assign an actual maturity value. This has been a very common and very consistent method of assessing alfalfa maturity in terms of predicting quality and for a very long time. And the issue that we're facing now is the time that it takes to growth stage a lot of stems. We're getting more into representing something on field scale and looking at spatial variability and trying to understand changes across the space in the field and how to manage for that. And so then I'll introduce this area of canopy reflectance. This figure, if you'll follow with me, from the y-axis is a reflectance value that's essentially on a scale of 0 to 1. It doesn't get up to 1. This is spectral reflectance. 1 would be white. It would be complete reflectance coming back at the sensor or whatever is measuring this value. And across the x-axis, you'll see the kind of rainbow that I've put in here alongside the wavelengths, indicating the different ranges of visible and then near-infrared light. So where the rainbow turns black, that's beyond our range of vision. These two lines, sorry, I keep pointing. I need to be using the mouse. The curves that I have demonstrated here are before and after the canopy closure of an alfalfa stand. And as you can see with before canopy closure. Oh, I apologize. I have these switched. But bear with me. The red line is before canopy closure, and we have greater reflectance in the visible range and absorption in the near infrared. And so there's more soil exposed and less vegetative mass. The other line is greater absorption in the green band and reflected near infrared light. And so vegetative indices are based off of this principle of differing reflectances or wavelengths, where you can take the value from one given wave band and another and compute some kind of value or equation. So the objectives of this project are to explore the potential to use known vegetative indices to predict alfalfa maturity and nutritive status, and then to potentially develop new predictive models from the spectral data that we collect. To do this, we essentially followed varying designs over the past 2 years, but this is kind of the common thread. We created variability in the field in terms of maturity. So in one sense, we would go out and sample every few days, twice a week, for several weeks. The other sense that happened this year, and this is the photograph that you see, we went out and mowed every few days, and then we sampled all on one day, which is really critical when collecting canopy reflectance data to have consistent conditions. And so this is, again, the broad model that we followed with collecting this data. As the data was actually collected, canopy reflectance was measured using a field spec 4. It's a hyperspectral spectrophotometer that returns a raw reflectance value on single nanometer increments from 350 to 2500 wavelengths. And then we harvested all the plots that were analyzed for yield, quality, and maturity. And then the selected wave bands from our spectral analysis that correlate to different maturity components are put into a linear model just to try to draw a correlation and see how much predictability there is in that spectral data. So first, taking a look at known spectral indices, NDVI is probably the most common spectral index used in agriculture. In row crops, it's often a indicator of plant health or greenness. And in alfalfa, with canopy closure and with everything turning green, it saturates very quickly and becomes relatively useless to us. And so we screened a whole series of these known indices to see what we could find among what was already out there. This is another index called Red Edge Inflection Point. And this was the best of the ones that we screened to predict alfalfa maturity. Not an extremely robust curve, but enough to inform us that there is spectral information that we can collect that can tell us something about alfalfa maturity. So kind of taking small steps moving in that direction. So back to this idea of maturity predicting nutritive value, we've established that canopy reflectance can predict maturity. But our next big question that we'd like to move forward with is whether we can predict nutritive value with canopy reflectance and take maturity out of the equation. Our first look at that, again screening known indices, was not extremely successful. This is looking at crude protein, and this was the best index that we could find on this data set to predict it. And there is correlation, but it's not extremely useful to us. So using the model fitting procedure I described earlier with selecting wavelengths and pouring them into a linear model, we've identified 8 wavelengths across the whole spectrum, being careful not to choose neighboring wave bands or, you know, avoiding collinearity as much as possible. And then inputting that into a simple linear model, and here we have a pretty nice correlation with predicted crude protein and actual crude protein. We used the same wavelengths into a model for NDFD and achieved a similar result. This is really valuable in terms of end use and the ability to maybe develop a sensor that looks at certain wavelengths. You don't want to have to look at different wavelengths for every parameter that you want to measure. So from these same wavelengths, we can calculate both crude protein and neutral detergent fiber digestibility. The next step was to test this model against other data. And so our training data set obviously is robust and is going to yield the best correlation possible for it because that's what the model is fit from. But compare using that exact same model against last year's data, we still had pretty reasonable correlations predicting crude protein. So in conclusion, the known spectral indices have potential to predict alfalfa maturity, but not as much alfalfa quality parameters. And we know now that there is potential to predict alfalfa quality using these new or novel models that we can adapt from the spectral data. And we've developed these models that predict crude protein and NDFD. So in the future, we would like to bring other parameters into these models. Most predictive models for agricultural use bring in things like growing degree days and rainfall and, you know, harvest target, you know, intervals or whatever. These are things that we haven't used with this data. This is all completely based off of the spectral data that's been collected so far. And so once we bring these into the models, potentially as covariates, we could gain a lot of predictability and value. Another area would be to move in the direction, once we've laid the groundwork for predicting alfalfa maturity or quality, is move into areas of identifying pest pressures, nutrient deficiencies on a spatial scale, and managing accordingly. And then ultimately, we would like to integrate the forage quality data with hay prices and with meteorological data to build essentially a smartphone app that could tell you when to cut or, you know, how to optimize your system. I would like to thank Dr. Scott Wells and Craig Schaefer, who supported me in this research, and Eric Ristall and Josh Larson on our staff were extremely fundamental, and then Farm Intelligence and Farm Nutrients are both companies that allowed me to use their equipment to collect the spectral data. And with that, I'd like to take any questions. Yes, sir.
You're getting presumably hyperspectral data from a very sophisticated instrument. If you tried simply using all of the wavelengths in a chemometrics package like you would for a benchtop instrument?
I'm not entirely sure that I understand the question. We've analyzed all of the question was whether we've used all wavelengths altogether rather than selecting specific ones. Not necessarily. In terms of at least the value of this instrument and the ability to record all of these wavelengths, if we dump all of them into a model, we'll get our best correlation. But to have a value for all of those, I don't think would be an affordable sensor or tool. Am I missing your point? Okay. So the essentially crop sensors that are being used actively today look at a handful of wave bands and then calculate an index based off of those. Yes, sir? Thank you. Right. The question was whether or not we expect to find a plateau with our linear curves that we've fit to this data. I think that we can, if we have a target quality parameter, the idea would be to fit a quadratic model where you would want to be optimized at the peak and use that as an indicator, more so than just this continuous rise. Obviously, as alfalfa matures and dies or you know, essentially falls off completely in quality, these models would certainly either plateau or become much more noisy. Let's thank Reagan.